This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Neil, for taking the time today to come on our show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on, Pat.
Now, let's start off with an introduction. If you can introduce yourself and your company, please.
Sure. My name's Nilofer Erdabil. Everybody calls me Nil, and Pat, I've known you for a while, so you know to call me Nil. I run Spring 2 Innovation, and we are an innovation and design thinking training firm. So what that means is we help organizations become more innovative and align around their customers so that they're actually more successful in their businesses and in market.
And Nil, do you have a specific type of customer that you're going after in terms of size? Like someone that's listening to maybe a small business, can services you provide, can it impact a small business? Is it more enterprise focused?
Our target audience right now is medium to large size organizations, because that's where we've been working in and that's the area that we're familiar with. But a lot of the things that I talk about definitely apply to smaller size businesses as well. Sometimes depending on the size of organization, they call things different. They use different terminology for it. And so as we're chatting, I can talk to it from a medium, large size business and then from a small size business as well.
Now, you're also a published author, correct?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Just released 2 years ago, and hopefully later this year, we have a second one coming out.
And Nil, do you suggest that people that are interested in potentially hiring you read the book first? Or do you prefer more just kind of dive right in with you and have a conversation with you up front?
I think having a conversation with me, just diving in, is probably the best bet. And then as we work together, then they can pick up a copy of the book to supplement or remind them of some of the things that we work on together. But what I talk about is a methodology and a mindset, and you can use it in different ways depending on the context. And so if I can have a conversation with folks, understand their environment, and then I can reframe it for their context.
And for our listeners that are not familiar with design thinking, Nil, can you give us kind of a design thinking 101?
Yeah, for sure. And design thinking, it's also sometimes called human-centered design. It's basically looking at the world and challenges from a human, a people perspective. And so a lot of the time for businesses, it's about looking at what they're doing from a customer perspective. If you're to Google design thinking right now, you'd probably see it with five different phases. The first phase is basically empathizing, so understanding who your customers are before you define the problem that you're going to solve. And then you would actually come up with ideas, which is the fun and easy part, and then prototype and test your ideas. And the intent is to find out more about your customers so that you're able to make sure that you're aligning your whole company around them and that you're having an impact and solving what's actually a challenge for them. And as a business owner, the more challenges and bigger challenges you can solve for your customers, it usually means a tighter link, more loyalty, as well as that connection with the customers, which is really, really important.
And Nil, with, you know, with where AI is headed, you and I have had separate conversations about this, but I would argue that now more than ever, people need to be thinking of services like yours. I'm sure you would agree. But maybe we can dive into that a little bit. Like why should they care about that human element?
Yeah. So it's really fascinating. As AI is coming forward and becoming used more and more, the doing aspect of it is becoming easier because you can have AI doing a lot of aspects. And I think about colleagues that have software development firms, some of the roles that would be assigned to junior developers are now being given to AI to start out and then modified. And so what that means is you have more time and the human component of it is actually more valuable than ever to think through what's the problem you want to be solving. And for AI, if you think about ChatGPT, you need to prompt it with a challenge that you want the AI to solve. And the more you know around the people and what the actual problem is that needs to be solved, the easier it is for AI to come up with the things that you need in order to meet that need. And then the other aspect of it is because there's so much AI around, human factors plays a role in the adoption of it from your end users, as well as people in organizations that may have to switch what they do or how they do what they do. And so there's a huge shift happening right now. And I think people are going to feel it a lot more in the next year or two, but that people component of it is more important for understanding what you need to solve as a business. And then how do you help your customers adjust if they need to, and how do you help your people adjust as they need to?
So are you saying, Neil, you got to be working in conjunction with AI? Can't ignore it, but also can't count on it to do everything for you. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Absolutely. You can't, you need to use it. There's so much different amazing AI out there. You can't rely on it, but you need to be using it. And then as you're using it, especially if you're an established company, it's going to mean you need to shift how you're doing things and what your people are doing. And so really being on top of not just the technology, but the people side within your business so that people can adopt it and also shift up what they're doing within the organization.
Neil, we didn't really touch on this at the beginning, but how old is your business now?
Oh, yeah. We are coming up on 14 years now. So,
wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. We've evolved a lot along the way and always changing too as new technologies are coming up, new types of customers and new applications of what we're doing. But yeah, it flies by really fast.
And is your customer base, are you restricted to Canada? Do you go outside of Canada? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we do have a lot of clients and customers in Canada, but we are super happy to do business outside of Canada as well. I've done training outside of Canada, speaking engagements as well too. And so it's essentially the same challenge all around the world is making sure that we're solving the right problems and making sure that we understand the people that are involved in the problem. So I'm always happy to work with businesses. I think the area that we get called in for a lot of the time, especially in larger organizations, is for enterprises that actually have locations in different countries. And so some of the work that we help organizations in larger organizations, especially, is cross-functional teams, but also cross-country teams, so better understanding where people are coming from in other countries as you're working as a global unit.
And Neil, you've got a really, really well done TED Talk that you did. Congratulations on that. And if any of our listeners want to find out more, but I suggest they do that. But I'm curious to know, how did that come about for you?
Yeah, well, it's really fascinating. We're lucky we have a few TED Talk organizations here in the Ottawa area. And so I'd actually auditioned for one and then got called in by another one to do the TED Talk. And again, it was all around how do you solve complex problems from a human perspective? A lot of the time, the challenges that we have in our society now are getting more and more complex. And there's no right or wrong answer. There's just so much information. And so how do you synthesize all of this information and make sure that you're creating solutions that meet people's needs? And that's, I think, the appeal of design thinking. And that's probably one of the reasons that I got selected for that particular TED Talk. And what a great experience, honestly. The TED folks do an amazing job of pulling it all together.
I'm curious now, how do you qualify for a TED Talk? You mentioned there's an application process. Do you literally tape yourself doing a short version of one, or is it more written, or is it an interview? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it depends on the TED Talk. After doing that, I found out more and more about it. For mine, I had actually auditioned for another TED Talk in another part of the city. And so they'd actually seen that and then called me in. I think more organizations are doing video, quick 2-3 minute description of you and how what you're talking about ties in with the theme of what's happening in that particular year for that particular city as well too. And so yes, there's an application, sort of understanding what you're going to be talking about and why, and how do you make that more personal for the audience as well.
And now, where do you see design thinking going? Let's just say kind of short and midterm. In the next year or two, is there going to be any significant changes? And then more, kind of 5 to 7 years out, what does that look like?
Yeah, I want to start it with 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
I hope that it'll be a lot more ingrained into people's minds and terminology and the way that people work, because the human aspect of it, I think, is starting to come up more and more. I think throughout the pandemic, people realize that everyone is going through their own personal journeys. And then as we came out of the pandemic, consumers have always been that way. It's just more prevalent now that our understanding of how people react to different things. I think in the next year, there's definitely a lot of room for not just understanding it, but figuring out how to apply it and where to apply it. And design thinking has many different, 5 different phases and many tools in each phase too. And so in the next year or two, I'd love to have more people understanding the overall end-to-end component of it. And then maybe 2 to 3 years out, being able to use the tools and knowing when to use the tools. It's kind of like how project management came about, then change management. And I think design thinking is just another tool in your toolbox. And you got to figure out which ones to use when. And I always think of using design thinking first, and then using that information to create a project management map. And then as you are implementing it, bringing in change management, and afterwards bringing in even more change management as well. So that if you do design thinking at the beginning, there's less likely a need for change management later on. And the project management component of it goes a lot smoother because people are on the same page and understand exactly what needs to be done from a customer perspective and come back to the customer rather than just their own personal part of it.
And Neil, is there one or two specific, I don't want to call them barriers, that's a bit extreme, but roadblocks that people put up when you're talking to them for the first time, just because they don't understand the impact this can have on an organization? Are they common? Is there common elements, or everyone's different and looks at it in a different way?
It depends on the sector and the culture within the organization, how they look at it. Some of the organizations that we work with are highly technical, analytical. They do a lot of research and development. And we end up spending a lot more time on the empathize phase. So helping them understand how they can understand one another and also their customers. And then it's actually quite funny for folks that aren't as technical, they struggle a little bit more with the prototyping and testing aspect of design thinking, because in their minds they think it has to be a technical, scientific type of a prototyping, but it doesn't. It's more about understanding how your users are going to interact with your ideas, with your solutions, products, services, and also an opportunity to test assumptions. And so depending on the type of organization we're working with and the culture within that organization, then we figure out what parts we need to spend a little bit more time on. And because we've been doing this for a long time, I love design thinking, but there's aspects of it that need to be done even before you start the whole design thinking process that we've embedded. And the book, the first book has some of that, and the second book has actually a lot more of that too, is internally making sure that everyone is aligned. And so everyone understands what they think the problem is, making sure that they understand what success looks like before you even step into the design thinking component of it. Because if people aren't aligned on what success looks like before you even start talking to customers, some people are going to feel like it's not a successful project, even though it is a successful project. And so that's from years of working with organizations, both small and large teams. And so tying in as much as we can to make sure that initiatives are successful from start to the end.
So Nell, 14 years in business, What advice would you give to someone who's a fellow entrepreneur that's maybe struggling a little bit? Because I'm sure in 14 years you've had at least one or two struggles, as we all do as entrepreneurs, a lot more than that in my case. But what advice would you give to someone that's out there that's just really having a tough time?
Yeah, I think first of all, there's different ways of starting a business. Some people start it as they have another job. I would recommend that if you're thinking about starting a business, start now and try to figure out either you're doing it as you're working or just stopping what you're doing and starting the business. So much changes over time. You can't ever be perfect. You can't ever be 100% ready. It's more about having the confidence to be able to try and then figure out what information and insights your customers or the market is giving, and then to be able to shift from it. And it's really funny, actually. I have an 18-year-old son that is starting a business right now, too. And the thing that he struggles the most with right now, and he is younger too, is the marketing and sales aspect. And so he's asking me all these questions, and a lot of it is about getting to know potential customers, but also putting yourself out there too and helping people understand what you do and what you stand for, what your values are, and to be able to provide them insights. And that's an area where you guys are super strong in too, Pat, is helping them understand their messaging, as well as how can they get in front of the right people in order to actually provide the services that they need to provide. And so I guess overall, start right away. Don't worry about perfect, and then spend more time on marketing and sales initially, so that you're ready for customers to come to you as well as you going to them.
Isn't it interesting, Neil? I find a lot of the, especially younger entrepreneurs, they don't understand how important sales is to this process. They think everything can be automated. They're just going to send out, 1,000 emails and people are going to come knocking on the door. And hey, listen, in some product or service cases, they may get lucky, but still the majority, there's going to be some, I call it hand-to-hand combat when you're new at it. You gotta get used to this, talking to someone for the first time about your product or your service, and overcoming objections and following up and all of those things that are involved in the sales aspect of it. So it's a consistent message that comes on this, or theme that comes about on this podcast, Neil, is seasoned entrepreneurs all say the same thing. Sales and marketing are really gonna, without it, you don't have a business, quite frankly. So that's interesting. I'm hoping any younger listeners really understand at that point.
Yeah. And then the other aspect of it is, along with that, not needing to be perfect right away, that's an opportunity for you to test out your potential products, solutions, and change it along the way too.
And I'm curious, how did you do that 14 years ago? Did you just dive right in, or did you do any kind of testing ahead of time?
Oh, it was quite an evolution, actually. So I started doing consulting, innovation consulting for private sector organizations. And when I started my company, people didn't really use the word innovation. And so I started basically telling them what innovation is. And then I was just going to do consulting. And then people started asking me to do workshops and presentations on what innovation is and the different types of innovation. And then they wanted to know how to do innovation. And because of my background working in innovation labs, and actually also working with teams that were using design thinking, it was a lot easier for me to be able to teach them how to do innovation using design thinking. And so for a little while, we were doing only speaking engagements and training sessions, and then it came back into more of a consulting phase. And as we worked with different organizations, our clients would ask for different types of training. And so the types of training that we are doing has evolved because of customer requests as well, too. And I think that is probably one of the key factors of a sustainable business, is constantly listening to the customers, listening to the market trends and insights, and bringing them back into the business to look for opportunities before everybody else is seeing those insights.
Neil, I know you have a very strong networking group and made up primarily of entrepreneurs from a business perspective. Is it your sense that a general rule of thumb is that sometimes people are pivoting too fast. The reason why I'm bringing it up is I'm noticing it more and more that they're seeing a problem in their business and they're immediately saying, okay, all this whole model has to change, when in fact it may just be an isolated incident. Would you agree?
I'm just thinking through a lot of folks that I see and I get to interact with from a small business perspective. I don't see too many of my friends with small businesses pivoting quickly.
Good.
But from a medium to large business perspective, I think large organizations want to pivot quicker. And so they have a completely different problem. And then medium-sized business, it depends on the industry that they're in. And pivoting around a customer's challenge is always great, but it's making sure that it's large enough and fits in with the other customers quite a bit too. It's funny, sometimes we end up going after that shiny ball. And I'm super guilty of it at times as well too, but it's taking a look at not just what your customers are saying, but also what's your business and what's your financials saying. As I'm getting ready for publishing the second book, I'm talking to other entrepreneurs that have businesses or have worked with other businesses. And one example was a business that had two products, and they were spending, marketing and sales was spending 90% of their time on one product. But when you pulled back, it was actually only less than 5% of their revenue. And they just kept putting funding and resources towards this new product line. And at some point, you kind of have to pull back and think through and look at not just your customers and your potential market, but also what are your numbers saying in terms of where you need to be. And I think as people pivot, it's always a great idea to go back to the financials and think, okay, was this a good pivot? Is it, how is it impacting our revenues and our profitability? And sometimes even 6 months is enough information to be able to tell you where that trend is going to, so that you can backpedal if you need to.
Now, what advice would you give to someone that currently has a business that is struggling? They're just going through some tough times, as we all have as business owners. Is there anything that you did, any technique, anything that you read or saw or listened to that kind of got you over that hump?
Yeah, it happens a lot. And for me, I think I really get energized and get ideas as I talk to my customers, as well as other business owners, to understand how they're looking at the world currently and where some of those opportunities might be coming up. The small, medium-sized businesses especially, it's really important to be talking to your customers as much as possible. And if you have a sales and marketing team, either going out with them or instead of them, and even internally within operations, just to see what customers are saying, to figure out where you need to be focusing a little bit more on. And I think that's really hard in a small size business, but that time is really worthwhile. And we have our sales cycles can be rather short to multiple years as well too, is making sure you're looking at both the short term and the long term impact. And I always have to go back to, am I enjoying what I'm doing right now, or is it going to lead me to something that I'm going to enjoy even more as well too, which gets more important as you continue to evolve and the business evolves and morphs into different looks for the business itself.
That's great advice. No, we're almost out of time. Before we let you go, where can our listeners and viewers find out more about you and your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check us out on our website, spring2innovation.com. And if you go down to the bottom, you can subscribe to our newsletter. We're also on socials, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube. We have regular monthly webinars that are free that you can sign up for. And you can find out about them if you join our LinkedIn group called Deeper Clarity. And we'll post information about upcoming webinars, information. And it's also an area where people can ask questions and either we answer them or other people in the group can answer those questions, whether it's related to design thinking or deeper clarity, alignment, and also shifting market trends and value proposition as well within organizations.
Thanks, Nell, for doing this. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat. Great seeing you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.